The gospel today is from Matthew chapter 28. It's from the very last part of that gospel. Verse 16, we begin. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your word, which we can trust, because it is true. It is your word, spoken through your people, led, filled by the Holy Spirit, inspired by them. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name, bless this time. Amen. These four short verses contain what we typically call, you see on the heading in your Bible, it's called the Great Commission. Yeah. Commission is not a word that we use a lot, but I'm going to just give you a little short definition on this. Merriam-Webster defines it this way: a formal written warrant granting the power to perform various acts or duties. I like the third definition, though, the most: authority to act for, in behalf of, or in place of another. Excuse me. The verses today have two encouragements. One's the beginning, and the other one's the end. The one at the beginning comes just before five things that are brand new for the disciples. All right? We're talking, these are new, things that they haven't done before. And then, of course, the other encouragement comes at the end. The scene, of course, is after Jesus' resurrection from the dead. We know it's, of course, before his ascension into heaven, and but typically it's sometimes we don't know exactly where it falls in there. Matthew does a little bit differently, but the thing is this: Jesus said this to the 11 disciples. Okay, the 11 that were with him. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now note the word "all." This is a unique word. Jesus didn't say some authority. He didn't say a little authority. He didn't say a lot of authority. He said all authority. And the way this is emphasized too, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus has supreme authority because he has all authority. Keep that in mind. Jesus is sovereign. He reigns over all. Jesus is God. The resurrected Lord Jesus Christ has conquered sin and death and the power of the devil, common phrases we find in the small catechism and throughout Scripture. He is the one who has been given all authority. Another word for authority is power. It's kind of like there's a cool, the Greek word's kind of cool. It's exousia, ousia, you know, it sounds like to exude, you know. It's power, it's authority. This is what Jesus has been given. It's all power and authority. Keep in mind that Jesus has this, and it's then that he says to his disciples the very next things after saying he has all authority in heaven and on earth. Then he says that they are to go, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. There is a scripture I'm going to read to you from Colossians chapter 1, and it mentions this power thing. We pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Again, Colossians 1. The neat thing about that is it's another example of Jesus having all power and how that's given to us, to people, his followers, so that they can live for him according to his glorious might. So, after saying he has all authority in heaven and on earth, then he says, therefore, go and make disciples. The word go is not imperative here. You'd think it would be, but I've heard this said many times, but it's not. I looked it up. It's not like a, it's not go. It's like a, it's not as much force on it. It's just, it says go. But the word translated as make disciples, that's the imperative. That's the one, make disciples. That's the strong emphasis. The emphasis is on making disciples. Of course, you have to go to do that, but making disciples is the one that's emphasized. It's a command. The role and responsibilities of these 11 disciples are now different. It's because of Jesus' authority that it's different. The first thing is, Jesus commanded them to make disciples. That was different from what they were used to because they themselves, of course, were the disciples. They were the learners. And now Jesus is commanding them to make disciples, to make learners. Some of them may have said, that isn't my gift. Or that's not what, I don't know how to do that. Do you think that those disciples thought that they were qualified? Do you think that they were saying, no problem? I think they wondered though, how are we going to do this? Perhaps they might have said, I don't know God's word well enough. Then they would be relying on their own strength. We know that we are all to be witnesses for Jesus, right? We know that. We hear that a lot. It's preached about, it's talked about, we see it in the Bible. Billy Graham said, we are stewards of the gospel. This comes from a 1984 Christian Workers Handbook that he put out. The power to proclaim the greatest news in heaven and earth was not given to angels. It was given to redeemed men. Every Christian is to be a witness. Disciple making is more than just witnessing, of course, or sharing our faith. I imagine that at one time, the source did not say what group it was, but some ministry had record numbers of people coming in to their maybe being saved at rallies or whatever it might have been, but then they were coming in, but they were going out the back door. They'd come in, but they'd go out the back door. It's like people would get saved, but they wouldn't get discipled. They wouldn't learn. They wouldn't be in fellowship and learn and worship. They would just go out the back door. It was a very sad thing, and I'm glad that they didn't mention the group, because that way perhaps everybody could think, oh, that might be us. That could be us. Disciple making involves making followers of Jesus, literally learners of Jesus. So how could they do that? You know, how could they do that? How could we do that? We know that it is not by our own strength or our own power. It is by the authority of Jesus Christ who sent them. I'm going to say this now, so I might say it again later, but we have to remember that God never commands us to do something that we are not able to do with his help. By ourselves, of course, we couldn't do it. God never asks us to do something or tells us to do something that we cannot do without his help. So these disciples are going to make disciples now, and they're going to do it by the power of the authority of the resurrected Jesus. The second thing is, they're going to go to make disciples of all nations. Now, the disciples during Jesus' earthly ministry were restricted to reaching the Jews. We can see this in Matthew 10, verse 6, where it says, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Or Matthew 15, this is a unique section where it's a Canaanite woman that ends up having a blessing, a healing for her daughter. So Jesus answered her, I was sent only to lost sheep of the house of Israel. And later on, well anyway, the whole thing is, these disciples of Jesus were going to go to all nations, and they're to make disciples of all nations, not just the Jews. It's a global thing now, of all peoples. They were to go to people of different nations, different cultures, different languages. How are they going to do that? By the authority of Jesus Christ, who sent them. The third thing they're going to do, which they didn't do before, is they're going to teach. Jesus is the one who did the teaching. He did the teaching. They were the learners. They were the disciples. They were being taught by Jesus. Jesus gave them authority during his earthly ministry over unclean spirits. We hear about that in Mark 6, verse 7. And we hear that they were to cure diseases in Luke 9, verse 1. The disciples hadn't taught before. Jesus was the teacher. But now, Jesus, the teacher, is telling them to teach. Is that being told to us too? Sounds like it is. You say, I don't have the gift of teaching. I can hardly read, or whatever excuse we might come up with. We do know that these disciples are still to be leaner. They're still to be learners, okay? They're still to learn, even though they're still to teach. They would be taught by the Holy Spirit, we hear about in Luke 12 and John 14. How could they teach? By the authority of Jesus Christ, who sent them. The fourth thing is that they would baptize differently. We know that they had baptized before, and then it wasn't Jesus who baptized, but his disciples did. That's clarified for us. But now they're to baptize differently. They were to baptize them literally into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It's not baptizing them into the names of, but into the name of, in the name of. There's an emphasis on unity by having a singular name. That's different. How could they do that? By the authority of Jesus Christ, who sent them. The fifth thing is, they were to teach everyone to obey everything that Jesus commanded them. That sounds like a really big thing. The word for teaching is different here than it was used earlier about make disciples. There was one translation that had teach as a translation for that, but primarily this is it's a different word, and it means to teach. Now they're supposed to teach everyone to obey everything that Jesus commanded them. The skeptic might say, how could they possibly remember everything that Jesus had commanded them? Hear this from John 14, 26. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Everything. The Holy Spirit will remind them of everything. It wasn't just about them. It was about what God was doing in and through them. So there you have those different things, and then you've got another encouragement at the end of all this, these short verses. They were going to be encouraged by these words. They're going to be empowered by these words. You could say they're going to be powered up. You know, if someone says to power up something, it means to turn on the power. Let it get filled with power. Get that battery charged up, whatever it might be. Jesus said he'd be with them always. To be with them always. Have you ever heard someone say something like, I will always love you? You know? They usually mean it. I will always love you. Especially at the altar. You know, when people are making promises before each other, to each other, and before the congregation and God. But people are fallible. People blow it. Someone might say, I'm always going to be with you by your side. It makes me think of country songs. And I've heard do this in the past. Or it could be any other song too. I will always be with you. No, you won't. She's at the mall in your home. Or you're at work. Or somebody dies early. Yep. Or a divorce happens. Yep. you're not going to always be with them. To say something like that is to say something that only God can accomplish. When accusations fly and arguments come, people break their word. We know that we're fallible. But Jesus, he's infallible. Jesus could say that he will be with them always because that's a promise that he makes and that's a promise that he keeps. Because he's God. We don't do any of those things on our own. Those disciples didn't do any of those things on their own. They were powered up by the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, who conquered sin and death and the power of the devil. And they were able to do those things with the help of Jesus, with the help of God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the great commission that Jesus gave to those 11 disciples is extended to all believers as well. Even we are to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded us. Surely, he is with us always, to the very end of the age. How can we possibly do what he commands us? By the authority of Jesus Christ, because all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him, and he is the one who sends us out. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, for your grace. Thank you that you promised to be with us. You're with believers, God. We say thank you. Remind us of this as you send us out, whether it's locally or far, far away. Use us, God. Help us to be faithful by your Holy Spirit. Help us to make disciples. Help us to teach them. We don't know how to do this, God. Won't you show us? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.